Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, that's right. We're glad you could join us. It's time to sit back, get comfortable, talk about some weird stuff, and just chill for a while. Welcome to After Hours with the Rise Guys. Here's Madman at 9.
Yes, sir. Jimmy Jack Jackie.
Boo.
How it is?
It's good.
It is good. It is episode 12.
It is. That means it's 3 months in.
Boy, you're right.
We've been doing After Hours with the Rise Guys for 3 entire months.
Yes. I'm Matt Mann. He is 9.
Yeah, welcome.
One thing I will tell, I constantly forget, and I often have to remind myself that After Hours with the Rise Guys, sometimes an entirely different audience.
Yeah. A lot of people probably don't get a chance to listen to the other show. Might check out the podcast, maybe not.
Yeah, we have a morning show too. But this is After Hours is a national, radio.com podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to remind people of that. So I'm Matt Mann, he is 9, but oftentimes I will call him Jimmy Jack Jackie, Sweet Baby James even.
Yeah, we all have names, and Matt Mann can be Matthew.
True.
And Matthew can be Matt Mann. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
As far as what I call him.
Thank you.
Keep it simple.
I will say this, just like I did last episode. If you're listening to this podcast and you enjoy it, please tell a friend. We're not asking you to Patreon us. We're not asking you to buy anything.
We don't even have an OnlyFans.
No.
No.
We didn't get an invite.
No. We can't give those away.
Just tell somebody. Put it on your Twitter. Whatever. Tweet it out. Retweet it. All that stuff. Just share the word if you would.
Yep. Tell people. If you like it, tell them. If you don't like it, keep your damn mouth shut.
Please.
Thank you.
I want to say what's up to Justin Harmon. Justin said on Instagram, at O'Matthew, been listening to After Hours podcast. Got to say I'm a huge fan of you and Jimmy. I listen on my way home from work every morning. Thanks for brightening my day.
Oh, thank you. You're sweet. Especially for a dude.
That's right.
No, dudes can be very... I know some very sweet men.
You were saying earlier how Josh Brolin was very handsome, and I agreed with you, and we kind of high-fived.
Yeah, like the older he gets, the more handsome he becomes. It's great.
Fine. I don't care.
Same thing happened to his dad, according to my mom.
What?
That James Brolin was more handsome as he got older.
That's the weird thing about dudes, is like the older you get, like Sean Connery, handsome as James Bond, but the older he got, my mother as well would say, the older he gets, sweeter the juice or something.
Maybe not at this point. There's a point where that stops, but, dudes in their 50s are like handsome.
But you know what, sadly, is not the same for...
In the 60s.
This will sound very sexist. Let me finish. It's not the same to be said for women, and that sucks.
That is sad.
That's got to be very frightening.
Yeah.
Because a man, you look at him, he's chiseled. He's lived a tough, hard life. And then the woman, she always gets the road hard, put up wet gimmick.
Culturally, we value different things in the attractiveness of men and women. That's all that is.
I look beyond that. I look into the heart.
Yeah. As you should.
Yes. You know, here we sit. We're taping this, let me look at the calendar, October 27th. You may be listening to this in any time into the future.
If you're listening to this on the 28th, tell Matt happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
To you.
To me. We're right here before Halloween, and we've been wanting to talk about our childhood Halloweens.
Yeah.
So welcome to not only episode 12, but the Mill Hill Halloween special.
Ah, the Mill Hill Halloween special.
Clap right now if you're listening to this.
I can hear it.
Thank you. Boy, what... By Mill Hill, we should also address, is often called a village,
yeah.
Sometimes a community where people who worked at said mill were often, in exchange for working, were giving housing.
Yeah, they had...
At triple the cost.
The same thing in a lot of mining towns and mill hills, mill villages, yeah. You would buy your home from the people you worked for. Oftentimes, it was the only way to you would ever have a chance to own property.
Sure.
So you'd buy a home from them, probably pay too much for it, and they paid you. And so get this, they deduct your house, which you're buying from them, from your salary or your check.
And it was usually two or three times the going rate.
Yeah, and then they paid you in mill scrip, so you'd get basically currency that they printed that you could only use at the mill store, where everything was marked up a lot.
The only thing different from this and like American currency is you couldn't spend mill scrip in other countries or even other mill villages, much like you can the U.S. dollar.
And you couldn't take it down to Main Street and spend it. You couldn't spend it anywhere but the company store.
The only place.
Yeah, and the mines and the mills all did the same thing, which eventually led to a bunch of people all across the South and Appalachia getting into this thing where they decided that it was easier just to collect government checks and cut grass for a living and sell drugs and stuff.
If you've seen The Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia, then you know.
Yeah, that sounded like an anti-capitalist rant. I guess it kind of was.
But and
that's
it was.
That's what happened. I mean, it's just the truth of what happened is that completely unchecked capitalism in the mill industry and the mining industry led to a bunch of drug-addled, never-working people drawing government checks all over the South and in the mountains.
And then when those mill villages and communities started to go bad, a lot of crime would start to happen.
Because those people drawing the government checks and selling the drugs moved into the mill villages.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then, well, look, the property values went way, way low. Hey, let's buy these up and gentrify it and clean it up. And it's kind of like the process they're getting to with like Manhattan right now.
Yeah.
Los Angeles.
Yeah, or Greenville, South Carolina.
Boom. So to settle, Nine and I, what we've often pointed out is we both lived at the same mill village, Poe Mill,
mm-hmm.
E.W. Poe. We lived there, but not at the same time.
Yeah, we did. Well, we did live there overlapping for a few years, but it was, when did you move?
The end of 86.
Okay, so yeah, I was born the end of 84, so we lived there for about 2 years.
Yeah.
At the same time, well, obviously we didn't know each other because I was a child and you were like 10.
I would have been 11, 9.
When you moved, well, yeah, but in 85 you were 10.
True.
You were barely 11.
Moved in 86, right? I have an October birthday tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So we lived there and we got to experience the same kind of culture, meaning that we didn't, I often feel like when we say this stuff, it sounds like we're trying to, it's like a grassroots, look at us, but... That's really what it was. We grew up in a four-room house where the income wasn't always meeting the ends, and you had to go to places like Commercial Credit every Friday.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I think another thing with the timeline is that your earliest memories are still – now, I imagine that mill village, Poe Mill, was probably a decent neighborhood in like 1950s, maybe 1960s. It started to go downhill probably between the 60s and 70s. In my mind, that's when it started to go down, I think. And then mainly because the people living there were getting a lot older and their health was declining.
Well, that and as a child, until we moved, I had no idea what, because we didn't go outside that area.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Berea was upper class when I lived at Poe.
Absolutely was, man, yeah.
And now, much has changed.
Much has changed, yeah. Good food in Berea, though.
Wonderful
great
food trucks.
Best food in the world.
Wonderful food trucks.
Where you go get the pupusas.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
But the but yeah, so I want to say it was a nicer neighborhood, and then it pardon me, sorry, wow.
And right into the elbow, good job.
Thank you. I tried to. The thing is I want to say that you were around for the beginning of the decline.
Certainly.
And then I saw more of the decline after that.
We moved because of the incoming declination.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a word.
Yeah, I mean, you can see the decline on the horizon, so you went ahead and moved, and then I was there for a little while after as it declined further.
Well, I'll tell you what it was. We were smack dab beside an apartment complex. It's the same apartment complex that my mother and father lived in when they first married.
My grandmother lived there at one point, too.
Crestview Apartments.
Yep.
So it was decided they were going to turn it into government housing. My dad saw that the mill had closed. I don't know if they had burned it down or if it... whatever happened.
It burned down much later. But yeah, the mill was closed and then operational and then closed and then parts of it were opened up for certain things.
Mattress factory was like it was going to close.
Yeah.
Piedmont Shirt was closing.
Mattress factory moved to Piedmont.
So my dad, who was not like a business savvy guy or a real estate guy by any means, saw the writing on the wall that, okay, the property value is going to go down. This is the first home we've ever owned. Let's get out while we can because property value is going to go down and crime's going to go up.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And he was right.
And he was right. So you got out, but yeah, it was. It seemed like the last gasp of like that kind of commute because, man, those mill villages and stuff were very communal. Like, it was a real strong community just within that neighborhood.
There were community grocery stores.
Yeah, and the neighborhood, by the way, it isn't very big. I couldn't tell you how many houses there are, but you have streets 1 through 7, mm-hmm. and you have A, B, C, and D, and that encompasses the mill village.
Yeah. They took the D away, and now it's Shaw.
And yeah, and each street is about 3-4 blocks long. I would say 3 blocks.
Nine, I used to live on D.
Yeah.
I lived on D Street.
You did. You grew up on D.
In a different time. And you were on 4th.
4th and C.
4th and C, and I was on D and 3rd.
Yeah.
3rd and D.
Yeah, 4th and C, 3rd and D.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so
I also renumbered all the houses over there. My home, the house I grew up in used to be number 30. Now it has a different number.
Mine's not even there anymore.
They started them over at like 100 down the way. So yeah, now it has a much higher number. Apparently that's fancier.
Yeah. My mom and dad, at this time, they worked at a textile mill that is obviously now closed, still Heddle. I don't know if you want to go into where I'm just trying to paint the picture of where the financial situation was at before we go into our childhood Halloween costumes and how they came to be.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, we can do that. Your parents were working in the mill. My dad was, when part of this, he would have been delivering Avon, driving a taxi, trying to run a little diner restaurant off and on, doing stuff like that. That's the kind of stuff he was. He was, during my younger years, he was also a janitor. He worked for Swisher, servicing like bathrooms and stuff.
Yeah.
Remember that? Because I'd go with him sometime and I'd play the WrestleFest arcade game at a bowling alley in Spartanburg. And at one point, he drove a street sweeper. So those kinds of jobs my dad did. He never stuck at anything for too long, though, before he'd get bored and do something else.
We both are sons of janitors.
Yeah.
Because that's how my dad ended up. That's what, after he got let go from the textile mill, he started his own janitorial company and then went the way of a CEO's life and hired other people to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
there's a little...
The parallels are often scary.
It is.
You and I.
It's unusual. And then my mother was just, I think she was an LPN at that point, a licensed practical nurse, and just finishing up getting her RN and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But then she started making decent money, but we still never had money.
Well, you eventually moved to Berea.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the nice part.
Yeah. Yeah, nicer part.
Nicer.
Then it's still, that neighborhood's still decent now.
Good Italian food within walking distance.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For sure.
The pizzeria. But yeah, that's just a little Mill Hill portrait for you to kind of set the time and the place. I mean, these mill houses are, I mean, it's hard to describe how they are. They're very simply constructed, very simply designed. They're all kind of tight together. Everybody has a little yard. I mean, if you just Google image search Mill Hill or Mill Village, you'll get a very good idea because they all pretty much look the same coast to coast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same style of but house. Some of them are 2-story, some of them are 1-story.
But not like subdivision plant homes are now where they all look the same and they all have tiny yards. These were well-built homes.
And some bitches are built to last. They're all over 100 years old now and they're still standing there and they have not been taken care of at all.
No way.
Most of them.
No. So I'll tell you, I've seen pictures and we draw our memories off of photos, but true memories not based off photos with my Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Halloween was a huge deal in the 80s.
Absolutely.
And the 90s too, but it started to kind of recede in the 90s. In my childhood it seemed to be less than it was when I was a little bitty kid. And that, I know you say, well, that's just because you were getting older, but no, I think it's more than that. Looking back, it wasn't as big a deal in like the late 90s as it was before that. I don't know why, but it seemed like it wasn't as big a deal.
Hmm. I wonder what the timeline is on that, because...
I always loved Halloween. That's why I think I noticed it not being as big a deal, because I always loved it so much.
I was going to say, did you have the rumors about the apples with the razors?
Oh, of course, okay. Of course. My mom was always looking for razor blades and syringes and all the candy.
Yeah. Well, okay. So the first memory I have, and I had the memory prior to my mother even finding the photos. They were thought to be lost. I have an extreme... fear, anxiety, phobia, whatever you want to call it, of clowns.
Mm-hmm.
I attributed it to dreams I had as a child. I attribute it to the border that my childhood bedroom that was decorated with that I slept in by myself for the first time, and I looked up and saw clowns.
Yep.
It was that point in your life where you didn't know what you necessarily wanted to be, so your mom just picked something for you to be.
Yeah.
So, lo and behold, I'm a clown. And my mom, you know, I don't know what the availability of face paint was then.
I want to think in my mind.
It was
mind,
that tiny little palette. That was it.
I want to think in my mind there was always some place to get grease paint. Because think about all the party clowns and clowns who were working back then. They had to be getting grease paint from somewhere. Because there were a lot of like birthday party clowns and stuff back then, and clowns at events around town. There were always local clowns, so somebody had to be selling grease paint. Well, plus there were always places like Costume Curio or some kind of costume shop in town that would definitely have.
That's the one up on Lawrence, right?
Yeah,
been there forever.
And there were always places that would have, you know, always places that would need stuff like stage makeup for theaters and stuff. So there's always going to be a place in every decent sized town that's going to be selling grease paint for face paint.
Well, and plus even at Kmart around Halloween, they would have that little palette that have little tiny
that stuff sucked. It was worthless.
Awful.
Awful.
Awful stuff.
Y'all got much better stuff these days.
So I have the face paint on, but the wig that my mom got me, you remember the rainbow wigs? They were the curly clown wigs.
The standard clown wig rainbow.
That's what I think that I wanted.
Yeah.
But
like Michael Myers looking little fella.
I got this. She got me this thing that it's almost looks like Bozo the Clown hair,
mm-hmm.
where it makes me look like I'm balding already.
Yeah.
And then it comes down over the nose, and it was a red ball over the nose.
Yeah.
And then my face was
like
painted.
A half mask.
Very, almost like a Batman hood or whatever you want to call it.
Kind of like you were wearing Venetian eye goggles.
Very, very strange. And then I vividly remember watching my mother sew my clown costume.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to be on the show soon. I'll find out. But I vividly remember they were made out of curtains.
Yeah.
I could be making that up in my head. I may have.
That would be the print, that or an old person's couch.
I may have heard my grandpa say, "Did you make him out of curtains? My God." But
it'd have been one of those 60s, 70s era couches that all the grandparents had when I was a little kid, where they're all this. Like yellow flowered fabric.
There you go. There's the photo.
Oh, it looks like curtains. And it's straight up Michael Myers waiting on his parents to get home after he killed his sister.
I'm sitting there. I'm bored to death. I look scared. I'm wearing my Brogans. And I don't have some kind of cool pumpkin to carry around to get my candy. I don't have a personalized Barbie bag or
Paw
Patrol.
You have a pillowcase.
I have a brown garbage bag.
Yep.
Or a brown grocery bag.
A paper bag. You have one of the big grocery-sized paper bags like you carry around a bunch of baguettes in.
And no wonder I'm fat. No wonder I'm diabetic.
That's
Look at
huge,
all that
the
candy.
The bag's big as you are, man. The bag is as tall as you're sitting down, and it's beside you, but the bag is as tall as you are seated.
I got hair like Larry Fine.
You do. You look like one of the Three Stooges.
Thank you.
Larry Fine, to be specific.
Yeah. My God, man. That right there, while I appreciate, that's one thing I will say about my mother, not mm-hmm. just one thing, but when it came to, she had that flair for creativity of,
yeah.
if that's what my baby wants to be, then we're going to make it.
Yeah, well, you know, that was good about moms back then. Plus, they knew how to do that kind of stuff. I don't know many people nowadays who are really good at sewing and stuff like that, but back then, everybody could sew because they grew up having to sew to have something to wear.
That was the only job she had.
My
was
mom
sewing.
Made me a Dracula cape, one of my first Halloween memories, because I wanted to be a vampire, and I had the little Eddie Munster looking stupid fuzzy wig.
Widow's Peak.
Hey, this is a vampire wig, or you could be the Wolfman and wear this. yeah, I mean, it just was an all-purpose.
What'd she make the cape out of?
Just fabric. But it had the red inside and the black outside.
Wow.
You know, the red lining and the black cape. Yeah, so it was like that, and it tied around the neck. It actually had a button, like a clasp around the neck. So it was a decent cape. It was a good little cape.
Regular Bela Lugosi.
Yeah, so I was out there, a little chubby little vampire with Eddie Munster's haircut on.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, so that was one of my first ones, man. I mean, it was fun trick-or-treating. And usually I would have a pumpkin until I got older and realized, wait a minute, I'm getting way too much candy. I got to get a pillowcase.
The pumpkins were, they were, you know, if you get, especially Smarties, they're very, they take a lot of room. The Bitter Hunts with the sticks.
Yeah.
I'd always break off the sticks so I'd have more availability in the basket.
Yeah. One year I remember having there's a gas station chain around here called Little Cricket. Dummy. That was always their jingle. Little Cricket. Dummy. But they used to give out Halloween bags, and I always have some of their bags. And I'd always have multiple bags because the good thing is their bags were decent size but not huge. Mm-hmm. And what you would do is you would get that bag and you'd get it plumb slap full of candy. Well, then you'd go like put it away in a car or something, whoever's car it is. And then you go with an empty bag so it don't look like you're getting greedy.
See, that's the thing of today. The bussing in of residences from other neighborhoods will come in. And I will see them actively go to the car and dump the bags. I used to.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, a month later, you will go to certain trading posts and lots where they're selling things, and there will be snack size musketeers for a quarter.
Absolutely.
Bowls and bowls of them.
Yeah. I used to do that. We used to, in the 90s, we would leave the Mill Hill. Because you'd go up over off North Main Street, which is a few blocks away, or up off the Hampton Avenue area, which is again just a few blocks away, and big money houses, like big beautiful homes from the turn of the 20th century type stuff, and those people would give out good candy. Is at this point in the 90s, the only things you ever got in Poe Mill were the old lady strawberry candies, which are delicious. They're the strawberry candies and the wrapping paper looks like strawberries. Or you'd get those peanut butter things in the black and orange wrapping paper.
Yeah, or the something Marys.
So the Mary Janes.
Mary Janes.
The little pinstripe. The peanut butter bars. The pinstripe peanut butter bars and the Mary Janes.
I remember that.
You'd get old people candy, like stuff you get at Cracker Barrel now. You'd get like sugar daddies that just stick to your teeth real bad.
Butterscotches. Butterscotch hard candy.
Peppermints. And the green spearmint peppermints, too. They're just old people candy in Poe Mill, but you go over here and they're giving like Hershey bars and Crunch bars and Butterfingers.
Tell me if I'm really old or if my parents were really poor. That one year we had a really overpopulated Halloween, let's say, at Poe Mill, and we ran out of candy while Halloween is still in progress.
Yeah.
And my dad runs into I don't know what room it was, probably the bedroom, and got a roll of nickels.
Mm-hmm.
And started passing out literal nickels, 5 cent coins.
What he had?
Can you imagine? But back then, though, God, it sounds like I'm talking about the 30s.
Back then, a nickel was a piece of candy, a little butterscotch.
I know. That's what I was trying to say is the 5 cent coin. But you didn't just turn the porch light off. You had to have something to give away to these poor kids.
Yeah.
Whose mothers, likely just their mothers, made that costume for them.
Yeah.
No matter what they wanted to be.
Yeah, exactly. Man, it was just, but yeah, so that's why we would leave. I imagine in the 80s it was probably a little better. It definitely was because it was my first few Halloweens. I stayed in Poe Mill and I got some decent candy.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that, we had to branch out in order to get good candy and be fat.
This is pre-trunk and treats, or trunk or treats, too.
Yeah, there were no trunk or treats back then. It was just going around the neighborhoods like you see in now old movies.
Wow. That's so odd.
It's really weird, man. But it used to be so cool about Halloween because it's become so homogenized and sterilized, and now everybody's very tightly supervised by a group of parents throughout, and it's just, we have to coordinate this and the minivans and the SUVs. Back then, hell no. It was just a bunch of kids out running wild in mass collecting candy on a sugar high for days.
You'd let them loose, and you'd say, you better get back or Jason's going to get you.
Yeah, pretty
or
much.
Michael
Myers going to get you.
Yeah. Jason, that wouldn't apply then.
Jason.
Never thought about that.
Jason was around.
He only came around on the 13th.
Well, he's scary, though.
Yeah, I know, but we were watching, Caitlin and I were watching Friday 13th Part 6 the other night, Jason Lives.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, this isn't even a Halloween movie. I was like, well, of course it is. She's like, well, he only comes around on the 13th. And I was like, never thought about that.
He's around other days.
Is he?
If you know the timeline, he's around on other days.
I don't.
Because the timeline of Parts 2 through 4 is a span of about 5 days. And I think
Are you Wes Craven in disguise right now? How do you know all this information, John Carpenter?
I'm Frank Mancuso III.
I don't even know what that means.
You look him up.
I bet he can make a pizza.
Yeah, he was involved in those films.
Wow.
I'm Sean S. Cunningham Jr.
So, yeah, different time, all that stuff.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's when I started to learn that I could say, yeah, I want to be this, and it became this challenge for my mom to make it happen. I don't know if it was so self-serving to her to make my dreams come true, or if it was just like a goal or a task for her own personal benefit.
Well, they,
in a way,
they want you to have fun and enjoy it, and they want you to look good and be happy with it, but they also take a lot of pride in it themselves.
Because the other mothers are going to say, where'd you buy that at? Yeah. I didn't.
I made it,
bitch.
Yeah.
Or my mom wouldn't say bitch. Hussy.
I made it, you SOB.
Yeah, backslider.
You PO'd at me now because I made this.
I wanted to be Michael Jackson. I wanted to be what was then known as he was just the Prince of Pop before he became the king. This is, you know, this was in the height of it. This is when you picture Michael Jackson on the front of the album. You open it up, there he is with the tiger. This is Michael Jackson in the pastel yellow cardigan.
Okay, is this pre-Thriller or around Thriller?
This is Thriller.
Okay,
this
Thriller,
is Thriller.
Oh, Thriller Michael, okay.
Thriller Michael, but you know.
Okay, Thriller came out in 83?
You know, 83, 84,
yeah.
Maybe 83. You got to remember, too, that wasn't the time when instantaneously the nation found out about music and it became a fad all at once like it is now.
That's back when there was a mainstream, for one.
There was a mainstream, but the stream didn't always come to South Carolina.
It took longer to get here,
unless you watched American Bandstand or Solid Gold, you were not fully aware of the trends until they were maybe on the way out.
Yeah, exactly.
Or at the height of.
With fashion and music and movies and everything.
So, yeah, 83, 84, I wanted to be Michael Jackson. I wanted the glitter glove. I wanted the jacket, you know, truly. Because I even told my mom, I was like, if we get the jacket, I'll continue to wear this jacket.
Yeah.
The red one with the zippers all over.
Yeah, absolutely. Because Michael was your hero at that point. I mean, he was everybody's hero at that point, I imagine. He was just the biggest thing in the world.
I wanted the black penny loafers, and I wanted the glitter silver socks.
You wanted to dance like Michael.
So
and then you want to moonwalk so bad, but you just couldn't do it.
This is one of those things where, as I became older, I learned to do it.
Yeah. What was your favorite Michael song at this point?
Want to be certain something.
Ah, oh, hell yeah. That's still one of my favorites. Yeah. That one. And,
yeah, it holds true.
Yeah, it's a great one. Doesn't get enough credit. Everybody just, oh no, Billie Jean beat it.
PYT is also good.
Yeah. Yeah. Way You Make Me. That's a great one too, man.
Yeah. I wanted to be Michael Jackson. There was innocence in all of that. Michael Jackson was, this is pre any, this is pre him carrying Webster around with the you know, carrying around a chimp, going out with Brooke Shields.
This was before all the hee.
Yeah, this is right on the cusp of it.
Okay.
And there was no question about that. Now, my dad would always joke with me about Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because he's, you can't dance and all these different things.
Yeah.
Why are you doing like, all this stuff?
My dad said the same things about Prince.
I could not.
Prince was getting way more action than my dad was. From women and dudes.
Yeah.
Probably just women.
Right. I wanted to be Michael Jackson for Halloween. The glitter glove, that was not that much of an issue. You could actually go to your Kmart and buy a Michael Jackson glove as like a souvenir.
Yeah.
I even had the Michael Jackson notebook, spiral notebook.
Yeah.
So that was not that big of an issue. Now, the red leather jacket with the zippers on it.
That's a little harder to come by.
Yeah.
Especially around here.
I don't think we had a coat factory yet.
And you couldn't get on. Well, there was no internet and all that stuff, you know. So the closest I think I got to was the socks that my mom took some Christmas garland, the silver garland, and wrapped around my ankles. I had, go ahead.
I was going to ask you a question about, at the time, McAllister Square was here. Was Haywood Mall open at this point? Because I don't know when it opened. Okay, so this was pretty, so Haywood Mall opened when I was a little kid, I guess.
Yeah, I can't tell you the exact year that opened. I want to say like 86, 87.
Okay, I just wasn't sure about it. Okay.
I think. But,
so you couldn't go to the mall and be able to find stuff like a Michael Jackson jacket because you probably couldn't find it at McAllister Square.
Or there could have been like a plastic option that was available at like a costume curio or a real nice costume store, but it would have been way more than they would have wanted to pay.
But plus, did your parents know about things like that existing? Because my parents either played dumb so they didn't have to take me there, or they just didn't know places like costume curio existed.
So the reason I think it may have been out of the budget was because my mom was very aware of that, having ran several successful church-based haunted houses.
Oh, yeah, she would have known then, yeah.
She was familiar with that stuff. So I guess it was out of the budget. So this is the way it ended. I wore sunglasses. I wore sunglasses.
Nothing, haven't taken them off since.
Nothing was done to my hair. The jacket wasn't available. I couldn't get that cool Beat It video shirt. You know, remember that? The design, I see it in my head. It was blue, it was purple, all these different colors. Couldn't get that. So I have a Michael Jackson shirt on that the one that I wore, just Michael Jackson's face on it with his signature on it, with black pants, with a Christmas garland wrapped around my waist, with, I think, my cousin's penny loafers, because we had the stuff in the ends of them because they were too big for me.
White socks?
With the Christmas garland around the top for the glitter effect.
Yeah. He always had to have white socks to be Michael.
The glitter glove, and my mom got some brown grease face paint, and we didn't even clearly cover my face and ears and neck or anything. It was almost like she just put some of it on her hand and just kind of gently rubbed it about the front of my face.
Yeah.
It almost looked like someone pied me with a chocolate cream pie.
Oh, no.
It was not thorough.
Yeah. It's a different time in the 80s, huh?
It was a way different
time. World entirely. And you would have been what? How old at this point? Just roughly.
Nine?
Okay, 9 years. Okay.
Eight or nine.
Okay. Seems about right.
Yeah. And I had a really bad buck tooth then. Yeah. Or not buck, but a gap in my teeth. Yeah. They were growing, you know, baby teeth still.
Yeah. So how awkward does that feel now, having worn that costume?
Well,
and not because he's dead or because of any of the allegations that came to light, but now, I mean, the most obvious thing, the grease paint.
There was I mean, I can say this is my point of view because it was my life and what I lived. There was only, I wanted to emulate who was my idol at the time, who was, you know, it was no different than me going out pretending to be Batman several years later because I was in a Batman phase.
Yeah.
I wanted to be Michael Jackson. I had his shirt. I wanted the jacket so much that I said, buy it. I'll continue to wear it to school as my jacket.
You were trying to be Michael Jackson for Halloween.
And my mom's, again, my dad joked with me about wanting to break dance and all that stuff, you know. So but my mom just wanted to give me what I wanted to do. And you mentioned the street names of Poe Mill, 1st through 7th, A through D.
Yeah.
We were on 2nd Avenue, and something happened. I don't know that it was directly as a result of me and my costume, but there was some chaos about. I remember being pulled to the side over with several other kids, and my mother went over to another group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Something happened. I was not told. You got to remember, too, I was not ever told any answers to any questions I asked.
Oh, like, yeah.
Why is mom in the hospital? Female problems.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime I ever heard about Angel's getting female problems, I thought, well, she's going to go to the hospital soon.
She's going to go to the hospital for a couple of days, yeah.
So I was never told what happened. Well, the next year, who did I want to be for Halloween? I wanted to be
Tito Jackson.
Who I was into that year.
Marlon Jackson.
There was a show called The A-Team.
Freddie Jackson. Oh, Dirk Benedict. You want to be Face Man?
No. Oh. There's a theme here.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to be B.A. Baraka.
That stands for badass.
I wanted to be Mr. T. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be the guy who was going to be at WrestleMania 3.
You wanted to pity the fool.
I did. I wanted to be Mr. T.
He was the coolest guy in the world.
My costume that year was a blue jean vest, Just the vest.
Just the vest.
No
yeah.
undershirt.
Like Mr. T style.
Cut off blue jean shorts.
Mr. T style.
Ringed white socks with red rings around them, pulled all the way up.
Mr. T style.
And brogans, like work boot looking shoes.
Man, that was Mr. T's uniform. And gold chains?
My mom got me some costume jewelry from her great aunt, who had just a ton of costume jewelry.
Yeah.
Just Aunt Lucy, rest in peace. And she draped them on me. Now, I was not given the option to wear the earrings. I was not given any facial hair like Magnum T.A., Mr. T had.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something missing here. I needed to get a mohawk.
You needed a mohawk, yeah.
Not going to shave the hair and fully commit to that. My mom got me a bald cap. That's mm-hmm. something you could go buy at a costume store to make you look bald.
Yeah, you could buy that during the Halloween season back when as far back as I can remember.
She then cut out a piece of, it wasn't felt, but it's that stuff you can buy at like Hobby Lobby and craft stores where it looks like furry cloth.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. Cuts out a black strip of that and super glues it to the bald cap.
Right down the middle.
There was never any discussion on why I was white, Mr. T.
Never.
I don't remember asking why I'm not. I don't remember being told you're not going to be. So in my mind, I associate there was some kind of instance when I was Michael Jackson that led to me being my own take on Mr. T.
You know what, man? All right, on the Mill Hill, even that far back into the early 80s, the problem on Second Avenue could have been so many different redneck-ass things. Could have been so many Mill Hill probs. Could have been so many different types of Mill Hill drama not involving you. And I also have a theory that grease paint and little kids make a mess. So that might have been why the next year you were white, Mr. T.
You think that maybe the lesson was learned that, we put this face paint, no matter what color it was, we put it on his face, and then it got all over his arms and the curtains and the...
It's all over his shirt.
Everything. We didn't have seatbelts.
It's in the car.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
So that could have been clothes. What it was. Yeah. And the chaos could have been, Matthew took an extra piece of candy.
Could have been.
It could have been anything.
It could have been
anything. Mind, I've manufactured this story where it's to, because I've asked my mom before, and I don't know if it's her protecting anything. I really don't think she would. I think it's, at that time, it wasn't looked at in that way, at least from our point of view, it was not known.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, since then, obviously, the world has learned a bunch of lessons and grown up in a lot of ways.
Very much so.
Grown and progressed so much since then.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, people don't do that anymore. But in the early 80s, it was pretty common. I mean, now you see that these politicians or people running for office keep getting like this picture from 10 years ago. Or how many times have Clemson parties done that in the last few years and gotten in some hot water over it?
Oh, very much so.
Something
Canadian
that
prime ministers.
Really, I would say in the last 20 years, we've decided, no, that's not cool. We shouldn't do that anymore because that's kind of messed up.
Yeah.
But in the early 80s, it was commonplace.
And it was.
Not that it should have been, but it was.
Right. That's so when I look back at those, do I kind of like, you know, whatever? But yeah, I kind of do. But I also know the innocence involved with it, not only on my part, but my mom's.
Yeah.
Like, I know how my mom feels in her heart about stuff, and never would she have ever done anything.
Yeah, plus, just like you said, you're a little kid and you wanted to be Michael Jackson because
yes.
he's the coolest dude in the entire world by far.
Absolutely. Just like I wanted to be Turbo from Breaking.
Yeah. Yes, I wanted to be a vampire because vampires were cool to me, man.
But that was my mom, like, no matter what it was, I could say. You know, she would say, okay, we're going to make that costume happen. And if I can't go buy it, I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
And that is like, that's something that's totally lost now. Because, oh, you want to be Paw Patrol? Oh, my God. Halloween is in 4 days. Oh, God. Thank God for Prime. It'll be here in 2.
Yeah.
You'll be whatever you want to be, and I'll put it on the credit card.
No, as I recall being a kid, it seemed like.
Are you comfy, by the way?
No, quite. Are my balls hanging out?
Oh, you good. You just like laid up.
Yeah, I just got my leg up.
Very comfortable in here.
Just lean back in my chair. I just want to make sure I'm not hanging out my pants leg.
Oh.
But I remember being a kid. It seemed like every holiday, and Halloween included, which was, again, one of my absolute favorites up there with anyone involving food and Christmas because presents. I mean, every little kid loves Christmas and Halloween, I think, or they should, and Easter because, again, all you do is eat.
Mm-hmm.
But It seemed like the first few years of my life, up until I was 4 or 5, my dad never really cared about that stuff. And at all, ever, in any way, not even when it was like me and a cause, he didn't give a damn. He didn't care. He couldn't give a shit.
Same with mine.
Didn't give a shit less. Yeah.
Same with mine.
Care at all. But my mom cared till we'd done it a couple times. Then she just got, yeah, okay, we've done that and I'm done with it now.
That's the cuteness wears off of that.
Yeah. Like, I only went to see Santa Claus maybe till I was 3 or 4 years old. Never again after that.
Yeah.
I don't, it seems like a lot of kids go years later than that. And then Halloween, the first 2 or 3, Boo in the Zoo, or the newly opened Haywood Mall, went there for trick-or-treat once. Yeah. Stuff like that, you know. And then after that, after like 5 or 6, just kind of on my own in the neighborhood or riding around with somebody else's parents to go to a nicer neighborhood and get better candy. So that was just kind of how it was. But yeah, it was just kind of – but yeah, those first few, like my mom made me the vampire cape, right?
Yeah.
And I remember that Halloween running around, and there was on First Avenue, one of the Westmorelands lived down there. I don't remember which one. He's passed away since. Taller guy, and he kind of had this lurch, undead kind of look to him. So I walked up his tall front steps out front, and I look up. I was terrified of this big, tall, pale man standing there wanting to give me candy for free.
Really?
Yeah. But yeah, just I remember that one with my mom. Then after that, man, it was just me by myself with my friends or with their parents and stuff. My parents were never really involved in anything after I was about 5, really.
No kid, after 5?
Yeah, like Christmas, I'd go off with my grandparents to my aunt and uncle's house. Parents were never there. Halloween, go off with my friends. Parents were never there. Dude. Halloween costume, like I remember one year I had a Wolfman mask. So I just had my regular clothes on and a wolf mask on, and that was my costume.
I guess they didn't decorate the house or do anything? Carving of pumpkins?
Not past the time I was about 7 or 8. But that ended when my mom chucked the Christmas candle at my head because I was being a brat. Look, I'm not saying she should have, but I'm saying I probably would have, too.
Oh, okay.
I probably would have hit me with it, though. She didn't hit me. She just put a dent in the wood paneling beside my head.
Yeah. See, man, like, Halloween, even though it was, you know, we were obviously in the church, and my mom worked in the church and all that stuff, it was still the time where it was okay to celebrate Halloween. We had this cardboard cutout gimmick that would hang on the front door. It was a skeleton. And it was it would shake when, you know, you'd open the door, and it was Mr. Bones. And we still have Mr. Bones.
Oh, that's awesome.
My mom had a ceramic pumpkin that had a candle in it. We didn't even carve a pumpkin. We had a ceramic one.
Yeah.
It was lit, and that was like, that was the sign. But now it's you're either all frou-frou with Halloween decorations, or you're like straight up like hardcore with it. There's no in-between with it.
Yeah.
You either bought it at Target or you made that son of a bitch.
Pretty much. There's not much in between. Yeah. You're either just a lot of people are all in on Halloween decorations. And we had a few things back then. I remember being a little, like, from the first few years, there'd be like some little ghosts you could put in the windows and just little Halloween decorations like that. Because back then, people who went all out on Halloween, they couldn't go buy the giant 9-foot-tall Home Depot skeleton. You know, they didn't exist. The only ones you could buy were really crappy. So if you had good ones, you made them and you put a lot of work into that.
Yeah, I mean, we had window units for AC. We had kerosene heaters to keep warm. We didn't have a blower with a big old ghost out in the front yard blowing air into it.
Yeah, I mean, we pretty much lived in the living room during the hottest part of the summer because it was the only room that would be cool enough to live in. Everybody.
The walls.
Yeah.
Them cold walls, man. Yeah. Those were great.
Dude, it felt so good. I've never felt another wall like when you just lay down on the bed and the bed's up against the wall and you'd lay up against the wall and it'd be so cold. I've never felt that again in my life.
It's anyway, a fun feeling.
Yeah, I digress.
I also remember having a little costume coveting of a kid that grew up at Poe Mill. It's one of those things where his grandparents grew up at Poe Mill, but then his dad went to college and moved away to Berea, the beautiful Berea. But then his parents divorced, so they moved back to Poe Mill. And so this kid, he's seen a different life, got a little money, and he's got the whole every other weekend thing, so he's getting a little bit of both sides.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I had a good friend that was like that. Yeah,
he was a robot, and his dad made him this, what I looked back, or what I then thought was just the best costume ever. And it was a refrigerator box, but a smaller whatever box.
Could have been a microwave box.
Could have been, back then, sure.
Yeah.
And covered
giant 80s microwaves.
Covered in aluminum foil with some kind of Christmas lights on there to make them blink. And I just remember thinking, God bless, that is like the coolest thing ever. And that's one of the first instances of like jealousy that I had of another kid over It's Halloween costume.
Well, that's a cool costume you just described. But yeah, it was, man, it's one of those things where those kids had it good, and I hope they realized it. I hope they appreciated it.
Which kids?
The blinking light stuff? Yeah, that's I mean, that's high-tech Halloween stuff back then. There's one of those on Bitmoji now. Your Bitmoji can wear a robot box costume.
Mm-mm. You people actually change their Bitmoji to a Halloween costume?
Well, yeah, I'm a mermaid on Bitmoji right now.
I'm a skeleton.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a bodysuit skeleton.
That clamshells on my titties.
You know, somebody told me on Twitter, one of them, that my Bitmoji's too skinny. But the thing about it is the Bitmoji scale of a thing, you're either way too bigger than you are, or you're just not, there's no perfect in between.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, my titties are bigger than that, but you can't necessarily see it unless I'm like leaned over.
That's why I put clamshells on them, make them look like I got some.
Yeah. You have clamshells on there.
Yeah, on my Bitmoji.
Oh, okay.
Clamshells on my boobies.
Yeah. Well, what a long, hard road it's been. I don't know. It's just, man, the big thing there is I say a thank you to moms of the 80s and 90s for making those costumes.
And some today who still do.
And some today that still do.
Some of y'all are very, very crafty. I mean, I've seen you Pinterests.
You repurpose like hell.
Yeah.
You really do. But it's one of those things of looking back at old pictures. They say that every 3 years you look at photos and you're embarrassed by the 3 year periods in between. You understand what I'm saying?
I sure as hell am.
And you look right at every now, 3 years. You go back and look at some of those costumes. In the moment, it was the best thing in the world. And now, it might have been in bad taste.
Yeah.
It might have been, you might have looked like a fool, or you might have looked like a future serial killer.
Yeah.
Sitting on the sidewalk, twiddling his thumbs as he's dressed like a young Michael Myers.
Man, when we get done with this, I'm going to go home and watch horror movies all day.
Tell us, do that. This would be perfect. What's a good recommendation that most people could possibly find on a streaming platform? I know you love to sing the praises of HBO Max.
Yeah, their horror selections, it's good, but it isn't great. The best horror selection is AMC Plus.
AMC Plus.
And I'll tell you this, if you listen to this this week at least, I know they're doing a free trial of the channel through, if you have Prime Video, the channels, you can get a free 7-day trial, AMC Plus. Loaded with horror movies.
Really?
Absolutely loaded with good ones.
What's one that, even if we've seen it before, we should go back and see? What's a good, maybe traditional, or one maybe you even think that needs to be recognized a little more? Because, again, this is that's your spot.
What kind of movie you want? You want ghosts? You want demons? What do you want?
I like the deep psychological ones, where it's not like you see at the beginning, okay, this is a troubled person, they're going to end up slashing the entire town.
Okay. You know, one I really enjoyed is an older movie starring George C. Scott called Changeling. It came out in like 1981 or so. It's a ghost movie, and it's pretty good.
Changeling.
Yeah, it's just really, really well done movie. It's really good.
And Patton's in it.
Yeah.
George C. Scott.
Yeah, he's the main guy. Angus's grandpa, yep.
Never realized that.
Yeah, but man, there are so many. You ask me that again 5 minutes from now, I'll tell you a different one. I think if you haven't seen Hereditary yet, you owe it to yourself to watch Hereditary, because that'll get you.
Solid movie.
Yeah.
And in 3 years, you'll be embarrassed of this recommendation.
No, I will not. I will not, because I'm going to recommend another one from about 3 years ago right now.
What's that?
One of the ones on the AMC Plus, if you want to try the free trial, is The Autopsy of Jane Doe, which Matt and I are both terrified by.
Very much so.
Yeah.
God, we didn't mention that on the morning show. That's another solid, like, just creepy.
Yeah.
You feel like somebody's standing behind you, even if you're sitting behind a wall or in front of one.
That's a movie that I'll say this, too. If you want to watch a good scary movie, I enjoyed that so much that I got up to, I was at home by myself watching that movie at night, and when I got up to go to the bathroom, I was all right. When I opened the door into the dark hallway before I could turn the bathroom light off and walk back to my living room, I called my German Shepherd to come escort me. I called her, and she came down there, and she had to escort me back to the couch because I was scared, man. And I was in my 30s.
Wow. Wow. You know what? That I'm going to go back and watch that one again. I'll find it. The Autopsy of Jane Doe.
Dude, I'm telling you, did that free trial AMC Plus for Halloween. It's loaded, and it's not an advertisement. That's not a commercial. It's just something I've been doing, and I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
They got their Scream Fest, so all the, you know how they show all the horror movies on AMC this time of year?
Yes.
They have all those and a bunch more on that app or Prime Video channel, unedited, fully unedited.
So okay.
You watch the Jason movies, they're full of naked people.
Okay. And then The Changeling with George C. Scott.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch that one. What's the C stand for? Is it what I'm assuming?
It is.
Commander.
It is.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for listening. That's episode 12 of After Hours with the Rise Guys. I'm Matt Mann.
I'm Nine.
And that was the Mill Hill Halloween special.
Man, we love Halloween.
I love Halloween.
It's my favorite.
What are we going to talk about next week?
Halloween again.
Probably so.
It'll be after the election. We'll find something fun.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, once all that's over with and we're back to normal.
Like hell.
Y'all have a safe time out there. Thank you for listening. Spread the word. And we'll see you next week on After Hours with the Rise Guys.
All right, get out. Time to close the doors on another episode of After Hours with the Rise Guys. Subscribe on radio.com and wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Pass it around to your family and friends and other P1s. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Yeah.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.